Well, the Brewers will look to get the better end of the Pirates tonight. Pittsburgh has won 6 of the 7 meetings between the two this year. All of a sudden, Pittsburgh is starting to ramp up, maybe sniffing a wild card, as the Brewers are going to soon adjust to life with some new pitchers on the roster. We welcome in Brewers.com writer Adam McKelvey, our weekly check-in regarding all things Brewers. Hi, Adam.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Doing well. So before we get into the pitchers acquired by the Brewers, can we first touch on the pitcher not acquired by the Brewers?
Yeah.
This seems to be the headline grabber right now.
What happened?
And I think so many Brewers fans are resigned to think, well, same old Brewers, right? When it comes down to it, they're just not willing to put their chips into the table for a top-flight pitcher. And then others are saying, well, wait a minute now. Maybe there's more to this than just player A acquires player B from team C. What do we know, what do we not know about the Brewers' attempt to get a two-time Cy Young Award winner?
Well, a couple of things we do know. One, Luis Peña was in the Brewers' offer. He is their number two prospect, a really good prospect, top 20 prospect in baseball. A major league pitcher, one of the Brewers' young major league pitchers, was in the roster. And then another good prospect, whether inside or outside of the top 100, a good prospect. The other thing we know is that every team values prospects differently. And if you are like me and don't know every prospect in baseball, you kind of look at those top 100s at your peril a little bit, because it's not like, you know, 21 plus 68 plus 102 is better than, you know, 19 plus, you know, add your numbers. That is not that simple. And those lists are kind of for fun and entertainment and education only, and not necessarily a code that teams use to make trades. The Brewers feel like they made a very strong offer. They feel like they looked at their offer as stronger than the ones that the Dodgers made to land Tarek Skubal. The Tigers took the Dodgers offer. And at that point, the Brewers pivot. There was still time to do a deal, and they make some other trades to bring in three pitchers, as you said. So they didn't land the big fish. I think they made a pretty strong effort to do so. I believe when Matt Arnold says that, and I've talked to enough other people in the front office to know that that was the case.
So I was checking out your story on MLB.com before the show, and speaking of Matt Arnold, there's a quote in your story. He said, "We certainly talked about doing some, quote, irresponsible stuff as well, but we tried to thread the needle. We were prepared to push a lot of chips in, and look, I think we did." Irresponsible stuff. What was your take?
Well, you know, that is, he always uses the word responsible when talking about trades, because his point is a team like the Brewers, okay, a team like the Dodgers, they can trade any prospect they want, knowing that if they need a starting pitcher, they can spend $300 million on Tyler Glasnow and $700 million on Shohei Ohtani. They can fill holes in many different ways. A team like the Brewers, under the economics of the sport today, the basis of their success is that farm system, whether that means you pull players up like Cooper Pratt and Luis Lara recently, Logan Henderson, to play for you in the big leagues, or you use those chips to make trades like they've done in so many different instances of the players that are Christian Yelich. A lot of their players have come via trades. The value of prospects is higher for a team like the Brewers than for a team like the Dodgers. That is just the nature of the thing. So Matt Arnold always talks about, yes, we want to help the team, but we want to be responsible. And he's always using that word responsible. So his point was they were willing to go beyond that. You know, when you make a trade for a Tarek Skubal, you have to be willing to lose the trade, because the way teams operate now, they all have these computer systems that assign value to players and future value, and they put in proposals, and the best trades like kind of come out even, where each team gives up a little something. Maybe one side's better in the present, one side gets more future value. In a Tarek Skubal trade or a CC Sabathia trade, you lose the trade in terms of value, but you get the guy right now because you think you want something that puts you over the top. So his point was they did something, quote unquote, irresponsible in the long-term vision, you know, like in terms of long-term value, because they thought that he was a guy who was a difference maker. And you think about the Brewers in October going into a postseason series. If you've got Jacob Mizorowski and Tarek Skubal and you're juggling game one versus game two, and then you've got Kyle Harrison, Logan Henderson, to kind of fill out the rest of, in a series where the first one would be five games, that's exceptionally dangerous. So that's why they made what they felt was a very, very strong offer. And look, it wasn't accepted. And that is just the nature of the thing. Now, I know there's a, like, I've tried to figure out myself, the Tigers make this trade with essentially parts of 3 days of negotiating left to go before the deadline. A little curious. And I know there's been a lot of discussion about that, and the Tigers GM addressed that. There's just, as Pat Murphy said, there's layers to this. Did the player have some kind of say with the Tigers of where he wanted to go? Pat Murphy was asked that directly, and he says, I don't know anything about that. I don't know. Who knows? Nobody knows except the Tigers and Tarek Skubal. So there's, as Murph again said, there's very many different layers to making trades. And the other thing I'll say is the Brewers are not the only club that's disappointed that Tarek Skubal is not pitching for them tonight, that he's pitching for the Dodgers. So that's the nature of this time of year. Only one team gets the, you know, the quote-unquote big guy.
Well, things were going to happen after Skubal was traded. So the fact this trade was made over the weekend allowed a team like the Brewers to pivot to a plan B. If this deal goes up to the deadline, the Brewers might have been shut out, as could other teams have been. Nonetheless, they acquire multiple arms here, a couple of bullpen arms, and a legitimate starter who was, incidentally, once a very key part of the Dodgers' plan. So what do we know about Dustin May, the starter, and where he fits in? I know what he did to the Brewers last time he faced them. He took a no-hitter into the very late inning. So there's still some juice in that tank, but what do they need out of him? What can they expect?
Yeah, you, as you said, a former, you know, top prospect of the Dodgers who pitched in the World Series for them in 2020 when they won the World Series, the COVID World Series, and then had injury issues, injured here, right here in Milwaukee, and had Tommy John surgery and had some other injury issues. Still very talented, still with lots of upside, injury risk. Inconsistent at times this season. His last seven haven't been as good as the dozen before that. But the Brewers are very good at bringing in pitchers with good ingredients, as they say, and then, you know, having a great stretch with them. So I think postseason experience was one of the ingredients they looked at. Certainly they wanted a mix of start and relief, and they got a really interesting kind of combination there where you get Dustin May, the starter. You get Jojo Romero, the lefty, late inning, short stint reliever once he gets back from his appendectomy. And then you get Antonio Senzatella from the Rockies, who the Brewers have seen a lot of. Also postseason experience, former starter. Now he pitches out of the bullpen, but it's a multi-inning type role. So a lot of this, you either were going to get Tarek Skubal, the aircraft carrier, as they say, the kind of huge difference maker. Once he's off the board, there's certainly good players out there, but nobody like Tarek Skubal. So now you're talking about, let's get in some innings, let's get some depth, let's get some reinforcements in order to protect these young starters who, by the way, have the best ERA in the National League and the best starters ERA, I believe, in baseball. I need to look at that one again because it might have changed in the last couple of days. But up there, now they can bring in some of these other pitchers to log some innings and protect the young guys who are getting up there in terms of their career innings limits and things like that. Jacob Mizorowski is one of those names that they're really going to be protective of. So the depth part of it isn't as headline grabbing, certainly, as having a two-time American League Cy Young winner in your rotation, but it can be just as important. So they do feel like they added pieces that made them a better team at the end of yesterday than at the beginning of the day yesterday. But look, I mean, I get why there's a lot of interest in the player that they didn't get. And Murph talked about that a lot. He said it's not the most healthy thing to be fixated on the Dodgers in early August, but such is life when you're talking about the two-time defending champs who knocked you out last year.
Yeah, true. So with the deadline behind them, what's the biggest question facing the Brewers in the final 2 months of the regular season? We love playing baseball in October, but just looking here at the end of the regular season.
Well, okay, two questions. I'll say pitching and hitting in general. On the pitching side, can you get Jacob Mizorowski to October 1st in prime form? Because the Brewers' case for winning the World Series, it all starts with this guy who is like no other starter they've ever had in the history of the franchise. getting him to the end is the most important thing. And then having some pieces around him who are fresh and ready to go as well. That's going to take some real creativity because these are all players without the experience of pushing into the innings numbers as far as total innings this season ever in their careers. The other thing is, will they hit enough? They're not going to be a team that hits home runs. They did not add a bat at yesterday's deadline. And if you look at the hitters who moved, there wasn't like the Tarek Skubal version of a hitter out there. They are not – home runs are huge in the postseason. That's how you win postseason games. The Brewers are going to have to do it differently. They're going to need the top of their lineup to hit. They are not hitting right now. Yelich, Contreras, Turang, Churio are all kind of quiet. So that's okay in August 1st. They built themselves a cushion. They're doing okay in terms of like where they're positioned with 2 months to go. Look, they have the best record in baseball. It's very hard to complain too much about where they stand right now. But they're going to need a lot more from those players at the end and as they get into October in order to win, because they are not going to be a team that hits homers, so they're going to have to string innings together, string together rallies. That takes some hits. It takes walks, all the things that they do, and they're great. Running the bases aggressively. And they're just not getting very much at the top of the order right now. So getting that going is a huge priority.
Between September 1st and September 9th, the Brewers will play the Cubs 6 times. Like this yeah. becomes a very important stretch of the schedule with the Cubs kind of on the Brewers' neck. I'm sorry, 7 times if you want to go back to September, or I should say August 31st. So 7 meetings with the Cubs. That maybe tells the story here on if the Brewers can earn another division title. Those will be a huge games, Adam. We look forward to covering it all with you, and anxious to see these new arms in action here for the Brewers in the stretch run. Hey, great stuff in covering the trade deadline. I know you're on a red-eye flight back from Anaheim and trying to stay awake while keeping up with the news here. So great work and appreciate the insight.
All right, no problem. Dustin May looks like Thursday right now, and we'll meet him today and kind of try to confirm which day he's going to make his Brewers debut.
Well, that would be an afternoon game here on WTMJ. Appreciate it, Adam.
Thanks,
you.
Adam.
All right, bye, guys.